This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
An intense debate going on right now about Fritos.
It's Mike Shope.
You don't want to be in the room with Fritos.
No.
What kind of comment is that?
You open a bag of Fritos and it smells like foot cheese. I mean, it's a bad scene.
And the Bulldog.
Party wrecking, palate destroying, stinky foot cheese, grossest chip of all time. In a blowout.
It's Mike Shope.
Bulldog. No, you're talking about the All-American chip.
The All-American chip! The Mexican chip! What are you talking about? The All-American chip!
What are you doing?
And the Bulldog.
Apple pie and Fritos.
Apple pie and Fritos?
It's the apple pie of chips.
You are disgusting.
It is the apple pie of chips. Mike, you're right. It's the apple pie of chips.
You people are gross.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Mike, don't you think you go to a party and you see the Frito, you think this person knows what he's doing? This is the person who's a sharp party person.
I think that guy doesn't want Miles Davis. That guy sent out Halloween invites and he didn't want anyone to be at his party. That's what he's doing.
Train. Cold is my favorite moment ever.
On WGR.
It's still good. When you go from the guy saying it's the All-American chip, and then your voice goes up like two octaves.
All-American chip! It's a Mexican chip!
Like, just that... That is... Like, you're I'm watching a ball game, it's just serene, and it's 5-2 in the sixth, and there's a pitch, and the umpire calls it a ball, and then he just looks over to the manager who he can hear, and he just, like, takes the mask off, and you see him, like, throw the... You're still watching from the center field camera. The umpire's like, you're gone, right? He just gives him... And the guy just... You're not even aware that there's an argument. And you see a manager, like Pinella. I think Pinella works.
Barely
just
out of there. Right?
As fast as anybody's ever run. You know, that flips the hat, full speed, right at the umpire. You don't even know that there's a thing, and then that.
Right.
That's you when you say... All-American chip. It's a Mexican chip.
That is just the best.
It's still my favorite moment.
It came from a very real place. That was not.
Yeah, just like with like Pinella. Like I think he really meant it.
Right, that's right.
You just were so mad at that. Bottom of the ninth at Wrigley Field. Phillies 9, Cubs 6. The Cubs lead off with Anthony Rizzo, who bunts for a hit. Did you see Rich Hill? I know Joe did.
Yes, I did.
Last night?
Right.
Was that a bunt? I think it was a bunt.
It was a bunt into the shift. Well, away from the shift, down the third baseline. There was nobody there. And you could hear. Where was that game?
Tampa.
So it's indoors.
You can hear everything there.
You can hear everything. And he's just swearing and then yelling about the shift. And just, yeah, it was pretty good.
Then I think I saw him walk off the mound at the end of the inning, having not given up a run. And I think he should probably instead be grateful that the guy bunted, a meaningless bunt.
Right.
Not try to hit a homer off of him.
Could have taken him out. Yeah, that's right. Did speaking of the Cubs, did somebody hit the Budweiser sign above right field last night? I think I thought I saw a home run that hit like the D or something in the Budweiser. Like,
I don't
somebody
know.
Somebody crushed one at Wrigley last night.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Rizzo bunts for a hit to start the inning against Hector Neris, and then Neris walks. Wilson Contreras, Jason Hayward is up now as a tying run. Hayward has walked all four times up in this game. He's 0-for-0 with four walks. Yes, I know this because he is a member of the Goodwich Wildcats, a first-place fantasy baseball team. Mm-hmm. And he went 3-0 in this at-bat. Now it's 3-2, Hayward. He has a chance at five walks. Some people...
Is that good for your team?
No, it's okay. We have
on base, right?
We have a stat called revised total bases, which is total bases minus home runs. So a guy that's like a doubles machine is your guy.
Yeah.
Doubles and triples, that's your guy for revised total bases and gets on base a lot. Walks count.
All right. Good.
Let's play a game. So earlier we were talking about quarterbacks.
Weird on this show.
And I mean, I'll do that every day if you want. It's just always great to do to talk about quarterbacks. And we got to Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco has, if you'll permit a few minutes for the sake of conversation and your entertainment, Hayward struck out. A game built around quarterback wins.
Okay.
Flacco has 7 road quarterback wins. Wow.
Wait, say that again.
Joe Flacco has, in the playoffs.
Playoffs, okay, thank you.
Joe Flacco, I know, right?
It's like, that's not good. 7 road wins?
I think regular season he might have like 20. I don't know, it's not that many. Regular season, or playoffs, road playoff wins. 7.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to make this so hard.
It is the most in the NFL since 2000. If I don't know where it ranks all time. It's a really good number. 7 road play. And he was he even good? Is he even good? 7 road playoff wins since 2000. I've got the list. I only want AFC. Unless you want to do NFC. Want to do NFC? Want to do everybody? Let's do everybody.
Okay.
14 quarterbacks, including Flacco, have at least 2.
All right.
Road playoff wins since 2000.
All right. Mark Sanchez.
Oh, yes.
Your computer just turned off. Yeah. 2 years in a row with Rex. Jets.
2 each year. 2 each of those years.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It was
4.
Oh, it's 4. Okay. Right. Sorry. Yeah.
Nick Foles.
1.
What?
Last year.
Boo.
At the Bears.
Boo,
Joe. He did not have to win Boo. On the road. Super Bowls don't count. Neutral.
Okay.
Phillip Rivers. I remember, I know 2 off the top of my head. Beat the Bengals in Cincinnati and beat the Ravens last year.
Right, and I think maybe the Colts is another one.
Okay.
The undefeated, the team that was almost undefeated, the Colts.
Oh, all right.
He has 3,
all right.
So correct.
Eli Manning.
Eli Manning has how many? Road playoff wins.
I guess 4.
He has 5.
I was going to say 5.
Tampa, Green Bay 2 times, maybe. Favre and Rodgers. Yeah, that's right. Dallas, Romo, he beat Dallas. And there's 1 more in there somewhere. Correct.
Matt Ryan.
Mm-mm.
No?
1.
Philly?
Lost.
Well, they lost that game. That's right. He couldn't find Julio Jones at the end.
They won at the Rams. At the Coliseum, like year before last. That's right. Atlanta's. That's Matt it. Ryan's okay. 1 road right. win in the playoffs.
Right. McVay's first year.
Yep.
Big Ben.
Roethlisberger has 5. At Indy. At Denver, when they went to the Super Bowl, Jake Plummer, I think.
At Cincinnati with McCarron.
At Cincinnati is right. Maybe twice. Carson Palmer got hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Maybe 2 at Cleveland.
Yep.
Or at Cincinnati. Cleveland. Mike, get it together. I don't even have to play.
Yeah.
Cleveland doesn't play in the playoffs.
I know.
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning has 2.
How's Drew Brees?
He has 1.
Boy, tough. I'm nailing the ones. Doing great on the ones.
Hashtag nailing the ones. Drew Brees has 1 road playoff win. It was against Chip Kelly.
Wow. All right.
I think, right? At Philly, last second field goal. McCoy is on that team.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady has 4.
Okay.
I didn't want to guess him.
I didn't want to guess it either, but.
At Pittsburgh, at least once.
Kansas City.
At Kansas City this year.
two.
Oh, yeah. He's got two.
Two against Kansas
City. Does he get credit for the Pittsburgh one where Bledsoe throws the touchdown pass?
I think so. He started that
then
game.
He's definitely got two.
So he's got
another
two in
one.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, right.
At least.
All right.
And there's one more.
All right.
Brady on the road. I don't think Indianapolis is right.
Did he ever win an
Indy? Is there a Denver?
Ooh, maybe. There might be a Denver one.
Denver has beaten them a few times.
Not Baltimore. Baltimore usually beats them.
Did they win the game?
I don't see them going to Baltimore in the playoffs.
Did they win the game when Champ Bailey almost scored, but Ben Watson stripped him? They lost that game?
Okay. They lost.
All right.
And they lost to Denver.
At Pittsburgh in 04.
At the end of Manning's career.
At San Diego in 2007.
San Diego, right. I watched that game from inside Fenway Park. That's right.
Brady threw three picks in that game. I remember that.
Good.
Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner is an interesting guess.
Got it.
He has one. And I think I know this one. Yeah, he has one. One road playoff win, and that would have been the Cardinals Super Bowl team. Where did they win on the road? They beat it was the second round. They beat, or the first round. It was the second round. They beat Philadelphia at home in the NFC Championship.
This is the Cardinals Super Bowl team?
Yeah, right?
They won in Carolina. Didn't they?
In 08?
Yes, that's right.
They won in Carolina.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't have that.
Yeah, they beat Atlanta at home, Carolina on the road, Philly at home.
I didn't have that. Very good. All right, so he only has one, though.
How many have left?
One guy with five, one guy with four, a couple of threes.
Since what year again?
And some twos.
2000.
Since 2000 on.
Since 2000.
One guy's active. Two guys on this list. You have three guys on this list you have not named are active. Two or more road playoff wins since 2000.
Alex Smith.
Ooh. Just bump the microphone. It's getting worse for me. Alex Smith has one. Chiefs, Texans.
Yeah.
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre has none?
None.
Cam Newton.
Since 2000 at least. None.
Yeah.
Nope. None. Is there anybody on this list who has ever played for the Bills?
Did we say Philip Rivers?
You did say Philip Rivers.
One of my first ones.
Okay. Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson is right. Two. At Atlanta, or they lost that game in Atlanta. Where did they win? Two road playoff wins for Wilson.
They won in Minnesota on that missed field goal.
Very good.
At the University of Minnesota.
Yep. Washington, Robert Griffin. His injury, is that against Seattle?
Yeah. It's his first playoff game.
Yep.
Okay.
That's right.
I don't think there's not one guy in this list has ever played for the Bills.
All right. How's Steve McNair here?
Steve McNair has won.
That's a good one.
Ooh. 2003.
How about Brad Johnson?
Brad Johnson has won 2002 Bucks at the Eagles to win the NFC.
Rich Gannon.
Rich Gannon has none. Two or more road playoff wins.
Jay Cutler.
Nope.
Jake Delhomme.
Jake Delhomme has four.
Wow.
Also at the Eagles. And apparently other places. Four. Wow. I mean, that's got to be his license plate. Four road playoff wins. That's your license plate.
Colin Kaepernick.
Yes.
Ooh, that's a good guess.
That's very good. He has three. Kaepernick on the road at Green Bay. I lost money on that game. At Green Bay. Super cold day. Mm-hmm. Night. At Carolina, he beat that Panther team that I had bet on.
Right.
And there's one other one.
That game was like they were just beating each other with 2x4s.
Newton
two
on the quarterback sneaks?
They were just killing each other. It was just the nastiest.
Right.
Oh, it was so
He could not get in from the 1 yard line.
Yeah, I mean, it was just brutal. Oh, yeah, those
that was
teams.
A tough, tough loss.
Patrick Willis. Oh my gosh. Those. Oh wow.
He also beat Atlanta on the road.
Right.
In their season they went to the Super Bowl.
That's right. NFC Championship. I think.
Yep.
That game went right down to the like a goal line stand, maybe. 24-21, some game like that.
28-24. Yeah.
28-24.
How many have we left now? Only a couple?
We have a guy with five. We have a guy with three. And we have two twos.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers has five road playoff wins.
Man.
How did I not get there?
I just was totally blowing him off.
Arizona, Atlanta.
Right, they won that crazy
Chicago.
Game in Arizona?
No, they lost. They won a different game in Arizona, I think.
All right.
They've lost. They might have played three playoff games in Arizona.
Right, because Larry Fitzgerald won that crazy game in Arizona, right? Long touchdown.
There was a game that ended on a defensive touchdown, a super high-scoring game. And I think they also won one there. They won in Atlanta that year.
They had three in 2010. Philly, Atlanta, Chicago.
Chicago, where Cutler was like on the bench.
Right.
Yep. He's also
Is he really hurt? Look at his face.
Washington in 2016.
Yes. Cousins.
And Dallas.
And Dallas, Jared Cook on the sideline. Okay, two more, right? Or three more. Two guys with two, one is active, and one guy with three, not active.
Is he still starting?
The guy who's active?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Andrew Luck.
Right. Andrew Luck at Denver and at Houston last year.
Right.
Two more. Both guys have been on this show.
Wow.
I'm back. I saved my segment with that. Both these guys have been on this show. One in person and one by phone.
Donovan McNabb.
Donovan McNabb. His mom was on this show.
Chunky soup.
Donovan McNabb has three.
And the other one was on the phone?
And the other one was in the 2000 season two times. On the phone, yeah. Much more recently than that.
You ever had Matt Hasselbeck on the show?
No, we've had Tim Hasselbeck on the show.
2000 season two times.
Yep. One in Oakland and one the week before maybe Tennessee.
Trent Dilfer.
Trent Dilfer. Yep. I like this game. This is a good game. I like it.
Yeah, that was in 2000, but it wasn't the 2000 season?
It was the 2000 season. Okay, it would have been January of 2001.
Gotcha.
Right?
Okay.
2000 season.
Right.
Yeah, Dilfer. Quarterbacks, I mean, they just never disappoint. You have a radio show out there? A lot of you do. You have a radio show? Quarterback talk. Just as much of it as you can stand.
Just do it up.
Do it. Having said that, what will the Sabres do in free agency? Luke Fox from Sportsnet will tell us next on WGR.
It's Mike.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Jope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, well, for the director's cut, we have a pretty good story about what just happened. For the director's cut edition.
Yes. Very well done. Yes.
Like I don't know. I'll just say it, right?
Yeah, sure.
So Joe does a tremendous job for us. And is this Luke? Okay. Well, the story can wait. I'll tell the story, but it's good. The story can wait. The important part is what I just said. Joe does a tremendous job for us. Joining us now on the Wes Herr Hotline is Luke Fox of Sportsnet. It gives me extra pleasure to tell you that on Twitter you can find Luke at Luke Fox Jukebox. That's really good. And Luke, also, I'm just going to pile on here. You put weaponize as the first word of your column and in the headline. I am reading that column. Love it.
That was that's an old headline writing trick. Put a exciting word like that, and people will click on, and then they'll be vastly disappointed that I'm just talking about boring things like NHL salaries.
Right.
No, that's just the kind of subject that needs the word weaponized.
Right. You got that, and then I think maybe a piece that preceded it by a little uses infernos as well. So, like, you're right on top of it.
Yeah. You have any questions for us? I mean, we're just all over you here so far, Luke.
I'm just desperate for content until the Stanley Cup final starts. So, I'm just trying to make people excited with my verbiage.
Well, one team you mentioned, which is part of the reason we wanted to talk, as a team that has cap room to really work with, is the Sabres. And I've got a question I want to wait on first, but just like, how do you look at the Sabres right now, Luke, with that in mind and just, you know, the longest drought in the league now, how bad is it? You could tell us that it's like really they're in bad shape, or maybe not.
I don't think they're in horrible shape. I just think, unfortunately, the fan base, and they probably don't want to hear this because they have been very patient and very loyal. And I just think more patience is required, especially when you consider the division the Sabres are in. You know, that one of the teams is about to play for the Stanley Cup. Another one is the Toronto Maple Leafs that has, you know, rebuilt properly and slowly in the right way, and they expect to be contenders. Florida now just got Joel Quenneville, and they're expected to make a major splash in free agency. You know, that the rumors about Bobrovsky and Panarin just won't quit. Montreal seems to be getting a little bit better. I just think the Sabres...
Didn't mention Tampa, Luke. You might get to them maybe too, right?
That goes without saying. I mean, yes, of course, Tampa. So there you go, the President's Trophy winners and the team with the best regular season record in the generation. So it's a tough division. But what I really like about Buffalo is the fact that Botterill isn't acting like they're one or two pieces away. From everything I've read, every, you know, press conference I've seen him give, he's taking a slow and patient approach. I think he brought in a really interesting coach in Ralph Krueger. You know, they do have cornerstones at key positions in terms of a number one defenseman and a number one center that, you know, should be peaking around the right time. So, unfortunately, it's going to require a little bit of patience, and there's lots of holes to fill in. I really like the Brandon Montour deal. I think he took advantage of Anaheim's situation there, and I think that defenseman's best days are still ahead of him. So I think the moves are happening, and it may be slower than some people in Buffalo like, but I think the future will be bright.
You know, with that in mind, like Tampa and Buffalo seem like Tampa is one of these teams that's on the Inferno list, and Mike already mentioned that Buffalo's on this list that could weaponize cap room. And so we've been seeing and hearing about Ryan Callahan. Big cap number, no production, and even ties to Rochester, if that matters for this. So if the Sabres were to work there, you know, whatever it is Tampa might be interested in, Rasmus Ristolainen or something else, would I rather get a player to plug into my second line like JT Miller, or should, with this patient approach you're suggesting that Botterill seems to be taking, think about younger guys who maybe aren't even in the league yet that could be better than JT Miller?
Yes. I think you're looking at Tampa's prospect pool, maybe some of their picks. But if I'm Botterill, I'm giving Julian Breesbaugh a call and maybe taking that Callahan contract off his hands, and in hopes that you can attach something young and enticing or a roster player to that. You know, I think Ryan Callahan is a great guy. He's just overpaid, and he was on the fourth line in Tampa, and then sometimes even a healthy scratch. And a year ago, he had some significant injury issues. But he's reasonably healthy now. He's just expensive, but he could slide under the Sabres cap quite nicely, and I think he would be an excellent leader in that room and help guide some of the young guys. He does everything the right way. You know, I've talked to a lot of his teammates, both when he was with the Rangers and with the Lightning, and everyone speaks very highly of the guy. It's just, you know, he realizes that his price tag is just too high, and there's only one more year on it. And I think that actually lines up well with Buffalo, because they have another year until, I believe, Reinhardt's up again. That summer is the summer you can start talking about inking Dahlin into a long-term deal, and some other guys are up. So this is a year where, you know, if you're realistic and you don't think you're a contender, why not try to poach something valuable in addition to taking that Callahan contract off Tampa's hands? It's worth a phone call at least.
With Luke Fox of Sportsnet, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Luke, what do you think happens with Skinner?
I think he weighs all his options. I don't see why a guy would wait this long and not just wait it out another, what, month and 10 days or so, or whatever we have left until free agency. Once you've waited this long, I'm sure his agent's saying, yeah, I know you're seriously considering Buffalo, but that interview period is only a few days away. We saw what happened with John Tavares. He invites everyone into the room. He gets the best pitches from everybody, and then he makes his decision. I don't think that means he's ruled out Buffalo because he hasn't re-signed yet, but I just think when you've come this far and you're his age and you put up the kind of numbers he put up, and, you know, I think next to probably Panarin, he's going to be the most valuable winger on the open market. Why not at least take the interviews and go from there? I'd be really interesting to see how much, you know, I heard some talk about he was wanting to see who the coach was, and of course you want to know who it is, but now that he knows who it is, I would love to know if Kruger kind of wowed him a little bit, mm-hmm. or you know, swayed his decision at all, because I got a chance to interview him a few times, Ralph Kruger, when he was in Toronto for the World Cup in 16, and the man is an amazing speaker, and he's got some really creative viewpoints. He's a really interesting guy to talk to. So if you're going to have a coffee with a guy and you're a hockey player and you're considering whether you want to play for a man, I think he's the kind of guy that could convince you a little bit. But, you know, when Skinner's come this far, he wants to see what kind of term and dollars are on the table from all his potential suitors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always made sense. What's curious to me is that Jason Bottrell last week, after he hired Ralph Kruger, was on our station and sounded more upbeat about, I don't know, he didn't say that they're going to avoid that, but he spoke in terms like, well, nothing's done until it's done, but I feel really positive about our conversations, and, you know, we've been good for Jeff, and Jeff's been good for us, and all that sort of stuff. There was really no hedging by Bottrell, and I don't know, that could be for some reason that I can't think of, but it sounded to me like a guy talking who thinks he's going to get him signed before the window opens for him to leave.
Well, maybe it's closer than I think. You know, I'm just kind of putting myself in Skinner's shoes, and you know, I'm sure if he said I wanted to wait, Botterell's not going to say, "Well, you gotta do it in May or it's off the table." Mm-hmm. He respects the player and the fact that he wants to go through the process. I just think these careers are so short. There's the risk of injury. I just think you want all the information available to you before you commit your life to 7 years, 8 years, if it's Buffalo, perhaps. But that's great. That's great, because if Buffalo is positive and if things are trending well and Jeff likes it there, I think it's a good fit, because if he does walk, you know, then you start looking back and the trade that looks like a steal of a deal out of Carolina doesn't look so good, and you're out there hunting again, because Jack Eichel, when you have that kind of talent, you need to surround him with a winger who can score. So now you're back hunting again. So if they are close, that's very positive.
We'll take a break here, get you more with Luke Fox, at Luke Fox Jukebox on Twitter, by the way, after this on WGR.
With Luke Fox of Sportsnet here on WGR, you mentioned offer sheets in this article too, and even a couple names. Do you think that's coming in the league? Do you think this will be the offseason where we actually see offer sheets?
Well, I don't want to scream that we're going to see an offer sheet, because we haven't seen one in years and years, and even when we have seen them, they've always been matched. It's so rare, but it's just kind of something fun for fans to talk about. I would be shocked, but if there is going to be a year, I don't see why this one wouldn't be it, just because some of the teams that are in that cap inferno, like I meant, are also the teams with critical RFAs to sign. And at the top of that list, in my mind, is Tampa with Braden Point. So So do they move? Are they able to buy out or trade Callahan? Do they move a Kalorn or a Tyler Johnson or JT Miller, one of these other players, in order to find points? Or do they risk, you know, letting a team who's desperate for a number one center come along and try and offer cheap Braden Point? Or Sebastian Aho in Carolina, why isn't he re-signed yet? That's very curious. You know, he's the franchise center that they've been looking for forever, and you know, it's obviously not done yet. So there's some big names out there. I still think those are long shots, just because the price tag to get a guy like that, you'd have to offer him something over $10 million a year, and the price tag is 4 first rounders, and it would take a GM with a lot of gumption to offer up 4 first rounders. But what I do think is possible is maybe that second tier, lower tier type of offer sheet. And I think guys at risk of that would be like a Kester and Kapanen or Andreas Johnsson in Toronto, where if you offer them, you know, in the 3 to 4 million, I think maybe it's 4 million, the cost is only a second rounder. And that's the kind of guy that Toronto's in such a cap crunch that they might not be able to match. Unless Kyle Dubas can strike a trade of one of those guys before the offer sheet window opens up, I think those guys are more at risk of that. Another name might be Kevin LeBlanc in San Jose. He might be one of those lower-tier offer sheets that people might take a look at because they have so many guys they need to resign.
There's different ways you can approach it, too. Like, just thinking about the big guys in Tampa and in Toronto with Mitch Marner, you know, you would offer sheet big money to those guys because the cap is a crunch for those teams. Carolina, I don't know what their cap situation is offhand here, sitting here right now, but that's a team that probably just doesn't want to spend all the money that they possibly can each year. And so you could, like, just put the pressure on them by signing Aho to a big, big number that is not palatable to them and see what happens.
Now, you're exactly right. They're actually one of the lowest cap teams, but they're a budget team. And it's really curious that he's not resigned yet. The GM needs a new deal. There's a lot of people, not just on the ice, but off the ice, that are looking for pay raises. And Tom Dundon has, you know, traditionally, even though it's only been a little while, drawn kind of a hard line in the sand. That's what he did with his RFAs last summer in Lindholm and Hanifin. And then he ended up trading them to Calgary for guys where he knew what their price was going to be because the negotiations weren't going well. So it's going to be really interesting with Tom Dundon at the helm, how the RFA negotiations go with Aho, because this is the kind of guy you can't let walk out the door. You know, he's a young talent. He plays center. He wasn't spectacular in the playoffs, but these are the type of learning curves you have to go through. But he's one of your best players, and he got you into the dance and broke the longest drought in the NHL up until that point. So you have to pay a guy like that, or else how are you going to attract anyone to your franchise if you show that you can't keep guys like that? So Carolina is going to be really fascinating to watch because, like you said, traditionally they are a budget team. Now, I do know that season ticket renewal sales are already pumped up significantly because of their run this year, and they have attracted some new fans. But a lot of people are watching that situation closely because traditionally they haven't doled out a lot of money for players, coaches, GMs, any of that. And there's a lot of question marks there.
You know, Luke, the point you make, and we talked about it at the beginning, about patience and your hunch that, your sense that Jason Botterill will be patient here. We talk about that kind of thing all the time. I mean, the Sabres are 8 years since the playoffs, the Bills too. You know, like, we're sort of stuck in this place where, you know, patience is good, but, you know, everybody's just kind of restless and whatever. And so we're always talking about that. And I think if I were Botterill, and maybe this goes without saying, the number one thing I would want to know for whatever my plan is going to be is, well, how much time do I have? You know, like, if I think Tim Murray acted like, and I think also just was the type where I don't think I'm going to be here for very long.
Yeah, he acted like his chair was on fire.
Yeah. And, you know, you saw what happened. Like, they went after it and, you know, didn't work. So, I mean, I think that's real. And I don't know what happens. Maybe Botterill knows that answer, but there's just been so many changes here. Everybody, I think, would agree that patience is better. That's what everybody would always want to stand for. I just think all the time about whether that's actually the case here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure how much rope the Pegulas are giving him, but I do think, you know, one of the quotes that stood out to me that he said this season is, "We haven't arrived yet," and that wasn't that far off. You know, the really hot start the Sabres got on, and then obviously things tailed off from there. But just that he's realistic, and there are no quick fixes in the NHL. Teams that do, they flounder. You know, I'm thinking about Vancouver. They missed the playoffs, and then they went out and made a splash and signed Louis Erickson in the off season, overspent on him, and they're regretting it now because they didn't realize that they were a team that needed to reset, that needed to rebuild. And yes, a bottle has inherited, you know, some other people's problems. But I do think he's going to take the right approach. Yes, how long of a rope does he have? I don't know. But one of the things another thing that stood out to me, and this is when he got hired, is we need to start fixing things even down in the AHL level in Rochester. And he started talking about, you know, his sense of that team is that there was a, sort of this divide between how closely the farm system was working with the big club. And that, I know he's gone to great lengths to try to improve that relationship and try to, you know, be teaching the same systems down there as they are in the higher level, so that when the young talent's ready, it's a smoother transition. Little things like that suggest that he's in it for the long haul.
Yeah, they have had better seasons, but they did get bounced both years, I think, and swept, actually, in both years, right out of the playoffs. So that was tough, but I think if you were grading objectively, I think you'd give him pretty good marks on following through on what you're talking about here with what he wanted to accomplish by sort of getting Rochester on track. I think that's worked so far mostly.
Yeah, and it's more about process than results when you're talking about the AHL team. I mean, yes, you want to create a winning culture and have success there, but it's more about, you know, are the right people running that organization? Are the guys who come up, are they more prepared than they were earlier? You know, getting something in the press is a little bit secondary to, are we grooming these guys the right way? I have a question for you guys, though.
How good
the sense that in Buffalo about Ryan O'Reilly playing for the Stanley Cup? Are people supportive of him? Are they down on him? Or what's the sense there?
Well, it's going to be mixed. It's really, you know, in one way, it's embarrassing. I mean, this was, they traded for him, they signed him, and look at the return so far, Luke, right? Like, it's just not even just that he's in the finals, but it just really looks bad for the Sabres. You know, at the end of it, we talked about this a lot yesterday. I found a poll that I put up on Twitter from June of last year when we were starting to think that was going to happen. And it was for fans, do you hope Ryan O'Reilly gets traded? And 56% said yes, I think it was, and 44% said no. Like, it was pretty split then, but, you know, you've got this, you know, 8-year drought and a lot of restlessness, and that's kind of the whole point of the conversation here is right. How patient is right to be. And, you know, that was just a trade that people were kind of ready for that. And you got to trade somebody good or big to fix.
Yeah.
And, you know, here we are again wondering what to do.
Yeah, I think you have a pretty good idea how it could be here. There's definitely a lot of course he's in the finals. And of course he's going to win the Selke Trophy because we had him and we traded him away. Like, woe is me. Nothing goes our way. Like, that's, you know, that's going to be a lot of places. But, again, 8 years without the playoffs will wear you out.
Yeah, well, it'll just make the winning that much sweeter when it does come.
There it is.
That's nice. That's a great way to cap.
Let's end it.
That is spectacular.
There it is. Mic drop.
All right.
Thank you, Luke. Always a pleasure.
Oh, thanks for having me on. Enjoy your evening.
All right, that's it for us. We're cooked. Stay tuned. The Nightcap with Sneaky Joe is on the way. We'll be back tomorrow at 3. Aaron Schatz, Football Outsiders, at 4 tomorrow here on WGR.
The same old thing again. Tomorrow starts the same old thing again.
Gentlemen, be free. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.